I guess we're going to do a take four.
I will spit all over my computer.
Yeah.
Got me off guard. Yeah, all right.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about a boogie woogie, and I'm going to play one.
I'm Steve Vinson.
I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Just in case this turns into an episode, welcome to the show. It seems like we just recorded.
It doesn't seem like that long ago.
It's been less than a week. I know that for sure. So, you know, we've been doing these very focused short episodes. Last week was a very special dedication to Stan Lee, and I think it turned out great. I'm
happy with it. I thought it turned out pretty well myself. I was amazed that I could keep myself together to get through it.
Me too. About the time that you were starting to roll around in that U-Haul with that girl, I thought I was going to have to take a short break.
Good times.
Yes. And before that, there was Armistice Day, softcore history. You know, go back and listen to that. We did some headlines. We're still waiting for for part two of the Paul Goes to the Doctor story.
I had to cancel that appointment because one of my kids had an appointment on the same days at the same time.
So,
yeah.
Priorities, man. Wow. Your kid's health or the show. I mean, come on.
That's right.
Prior to that, it was, we probably did like a three movie throwdown or something. And we did a Halloween episode in there somewhere. And so tonight, we weren't going to record an episode necessarily, but we needed to do some life science effect stuff. I had to read an advertisement, a mid-roll, as it's called in the industry, because it comes in the middle of the episode. In the roll part, I don't know where roll comes from. But so we had to record that. We had to re-record the ending because it kind of got jabbered up or gibbered up or jiggered up. I'll stop now before I so we had to re-record that. And anyway, got all the stuff set up, and I had a couple of random thoughts that I wanted to run past Paul here.
Okay.
So I thought, while we got all the stuff set up, why not hit record one more time and see if we end up with an episode. So that's what this is about. And I'm making this noise because this is what took us so long to record the life science effect stuff, because I couldn't stop doing this with the paper. And it might sound great on an episode of a radio show called the Don't Panic Radio Show. Doesn't sound great on a professional business podcast. There. Get that out of my system. Okay, random thought number one.
Okay.
I've decided we need to institute somehow an idea of a warm-up period or a cool-down period, depending on how you want to look at it, for families between the point when they're not all together and when they all come together in the afternoon or evening, to transition from all the shit you do during the day to now we're going to be together as a family in the evening. And case in point, I came home today. I've been coming home like around 5, and like some days I'm home way earlier than that, because I'll come home, finish up my day at home, like whatever emails or whatever I got to do, finish those up at home. And that's been nice because it's kind of an easing into the evening, right?
Yeah.
Tonight, though, I had to be at work until 5 or a little after 5. I didn't get home till almost 6. One of the great things is kids made dinner. Usually, you can throw in dad has to make dinner when he gets home, into the mix. But this time the kids made dinner, which is cool. But since I walked in near 6 o'clock, I didn't get any transition time. So I just got thrown into the family dynamic, you know, without any chance to get situated. I think it was Chris Rock or Eddie Murphy that did a good job of like describing this.
That was Chris Rock.
He's like, I step 1 foot in. It's like, let me tell you what the kids did. Let me tell you what they did. He's like, let me get situated.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't
one
that.
1 foot in the door.
It wasn't that this time. It used to be that because the kids used to be younger.
Mm-hmm.
But this time we had dinner, which was nice. We finished dinner, which was nice. We start settling in to our evening. And as soon as my oldest finishes her homework, the kids decide to put together the gingerbread house.
Oh, Lord, that's too big of a project for like spur of the moment.
I know you need a week of planning. You got to make sure you got some hot glue as backup.
Because if you don't plan that shit out, it's going to look like the gingerbread project. It's not going to look like a gingerbread house.
So we tried the gingerbread house last year, or maybe the year before, whenever it was. Last time we tried it, it was such an epic disaster. Like, first of all, these things don't go together well, right?
No.
They don't. They fall down. It just doesn't. It might work okay if just one person worked on it, right?
Mm, yeah, exactly.
One person with a little bit of a steady hand and some vision and a plan in their head.
Now, was this a kit like where the gingerbread was all pre-made and everything? Just yes. Like a puzzle? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It comes with four walls and two roof panels. Mm-hmm. And you got to stick all the walls together. And then you got to put the two roof panels on the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the glue that holds the whole thing together is the icing. Okay.
Right.
There's no cross bracing, right? There's no corner brackets. There's no flying buttresses. There's no sitting on the ground buttresses. There's no hanging from the sky buttresses. There's no kind of buttresses whatsoever, right? So usually what happens is you spend a half an hour getting the four walls to kind of sort of stay put.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put the two roof panels on. If you can get them on without knocking the thing over, you feel really happy for about 4 seconds. And then you watch the roof panels start to slide down.
Yeah, dude. You're reading my mail. I've been there.
But if you're a kid with a plan, right? And you're like, I know how I'm going to make it work this year, right? You stand a chance. But if you're two kids, one of the two kids, I don't care how good the plan is, one of the two kids is going to want to reach in there and go, hold on, let me this or let me that. And then the other one's going to go, no, wait, hold on. Yep. And then there's going to be screaming and there's going to be yelling and there's going to be me saying, why in the hell did we bring another one of these possessed evil devil houses into our house? And there's going to be wives getting mad at husbands. I won't name any names. And people will be on the verge of getting grounded. And then in the meantime, I'm going to be trying to get ready to do some recording, because I know it's got to happen tonight, because the episode of Life Science Effect has to come out Thursday morning, and we needed to do this recording to give you time to put it all together so that I can schedule it Wednesday night. So I was like trying to concentrate on that. I'm trying to have fun with the kids in their gingerbread house. Constance was taking a nap, so it was kind of quiet in that corner of the house for a minute until she woke up because the kids were screaming at each other. Then they're screaming and yelling, and I'm just like, I have had enough. Then I make a fool out of myself. Then I feel bad. And then I'm like, you know what? If I had had like an hour to get acclimated, you know, we're installing new wood floors in the in part of the house. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you have to do when you install new wood floors, you got to bring in the wood and you got to let it sit for 72 hours Because, you know, it's at the temperature and the humidity of the store, right?
Yeah.
You got to bring it into your house and get it to the temperature and the humidity of your house, because you don't want to install it and then have it getting all adjusted, because then it'll open up little cracks and like buckle up and things. It'll not settle very well. So it's got to get acclimated. That's called acclimation, right? That's what I need. I need to get inside my house and I need to take maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes. I need to acclimate, and then I can be my best self. To make matters worse, while we're sitting at dinner, I noticed that this thing was sitting there, right? And I said, oh, it's the gingerbread kit. I said, here, let me read the instructions to everyone. I go, step one, unpack everything. Step two, mix up the icing. Step three, stand up the walls. Step four, put the roof panels on. Step five, watch roof panels slide slowly off of the off of the walls. Step six, try to catch roof panels before they fall off. Step seven, watch the four walls collapse in on themselves. Step eight, one sister screams at the other sister. Step nine, parents get frustrated and threaten to throw gingerbread house out the door, and everybody's laughing, right? Because they know that's what's going to happen. And then I bring up how funny it was, because one of Elizabeth's friends filmed this going on. Well, not her friend, our friend. Her friend's mom filmed it, videotaped it, video VCR'd it, tape. committed it to recorded video, whatever you
say.
We
still don't have an accurate way to explain what we do when we film stuff.
We don't. So we were laughing about that because she put it up on Instagram, and Elizabeth's friend laughed so hard she fell down because the kids were crying and yelling. And I was talking about how funny that was. So smash cut, 45 minutes later, the exact thing that I predicted is happening. Elizabeth's laughing her head off while Simone is crying and screaming, right? And I'm getting mad because I'm like, you're making her cry and scream because you think it's funny, right? And then I hear, like I hear from the other room, I hear, hey guys, so my sister is putting together this gingerbread house. I'm like, hey guys, the universal signal that I've just started a live Instagram video. Right? So anyway, I got a little upset. I'm okay now. True. You see, because I came down here in the studio and talked to you for a minute. Now I'm acclimated. You know?
Yeah, my kids will get off the bus, and it's a roller coaster from the minute that door, because my son never just walks in. He bursts into the house like Kramer every single time. And from that time he bursts in the door, it's just nonstop nuts till like bedtime. And yeah, there should be like that moment. It's almost like, yeah, there just needs to be a moment to
everybody
catch
go
your
to
breath.
Your corner. Yeah, go to your corner, get acclimated, and we'll all come back together.
Damn.
Random thought number two came to me as I was listening to last week's episode.
Okay.
And it was the concept of flow. And it's this concept that's kind of new agey, sort of California. So if you can imagine, I got those three band-aids on my forehead talking about time doesn't exist. it's where you're in the zone. Basically, in sports, they call it being in the zone. Or you're doing what you do, and you get so into it that time doesn't exist. It really doesn't.
Right.
Because you're just, you're into what you're doing, and 9 hours goes by and you go, wait, what? That was 9 hours? Mm-hmm. And you're not necessarily high, you know. That's called flow. And that's like when you see professional athletes doing their thing, or even somebody who, a comedian, a stand-up comedian. Like I'm sure like Chris Rock or Kevin Hart, they'll probably do a 2-hour show and they'll get done and they'll be like, that seemed like 5.5 minutes. You know,
yeah,
just because they're in the zone. You do your best work when you're in the zone, and it has to do with confidence and it has to do with doing something you love,
mm-hmm.
and just being in love. Like, you got your human suit on, but you love your human suit. Or maybe you've shed your human suit and you got your superhero suit on for a minute.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So as I was listening to last week's episode, I realized it when I didn't realize it while we were talking. When you put your, so if you haven't listened to last week's episode, turn this one off, go back, listen to it, and then come back. But
we'll wait.
If you don't have time, yeah, we'll wait. We'll be here. But if you're in the car and you don't feel like pulling over and doing all that. So you were telling me a story about when Stan Lee was going to be the MC or the officiator of the silent auction or the whatever auction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he went up there and he did his thing. You put one of your pieces in and it got auctioned off for $150 or whatever it was. And
mm-hmm.
you got to meet Stan Lee, even if very briefly. You got to see him up close. Didn't have to pay anything to do it. You got to stand around and meet a bunch of people. Stand there talking to a cute, to an attractive lady. And she
said, I was there. I remember how it I remember how it went.
She says, you want to go out and smoke a joint, right? You know, I would like nothing more, right? At that moment, it occurred to me that, of course, she was super attracted to you in that moment. And of course, you were on your A game in terms of being attractive. And
I like to think so.
And attracting the ladies and all that stuff. And I thought, that's how it happens, right? So we've talked before trying to give our younger listeners advice on women and, or, you know, the opposite sex, the same, whatever sex, whatever gender you're attracted to, right? And how to attract someone into your life, you know, where you can form a relationship. You said you got to fake not giving a shit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that occurred to me while I was listening to this. Now, this doesn't just apply to relationships or getting laid or whatever. This is just life, right? It occurred to me that when that happens, it's when you're on your A game, you're on top of the world, you're in a flow state, and something clicks. And the reason, I think the reason that it connects to the, you got to act like you don't care, it's because you truly don't. I mean, you're not in that moment going, okay, I got to attract a woman. Let me see. How do I attract that woman? Because I like the way she, no, you are doing what you do. You're being who you are in that moment. You're connected. There's my three Band-Aids again. You're connected to the universe. You're connected to the cosmos at that moment, creating whatever it is you create in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You're being who you're meant to be.
Right.
And there's nothing more attractive to the opposite sex or the same sex or whatever sex it is you're trying to attract than, man, things have gotten a lot more complicated lately. if you're trying to pick up a dude or a chick, you know, there's nothing more attractive than being who you're supposed to be.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And so I was making these jokes. I was trying to be funny, and I'm going, I was like, oh, who needed to be more embarrassed, her or you? And I'm like, oh, that was stupid. I was embarrassed for myself. Because I was like, you were in the zone. You were being who you're supposed to be. You're like on top of the world. Of course some girl wanted to go roll around with you in a U-Haul. Hell, while you were telling the story, I wanted to find a U-Haul and go roll around a little bit. And it's funny, too, because somebody might ask, well, how do I figure out what that is? What is that thing? How do I go? So if I could figure out what that thing is, I'd go do that. And my answer would be, you've been there before. You've been in a situation where the world just seems to, like, you see, it's like you've plugged into something. And mm-hmm. everything just seems to be flowing through you, from you, into you. And you're just like, time compresses and you're like, this is the world I want to live in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody's there 100% of the time. In fact, nobody's there even 50% of the time, right? But it is a way to detect, like, what you're supposed to be doing and who you're supposed to be in this world.
A friend of mine once said that when you're doing a show, you have to be yourself, but you have to be yourself ramped up to about 11.
Yeah.
That applies to everything, not just doing shows. And when you're yourself ramped up to 11, you are totally where you're supposed to be. You are totally who you are. It's exhausting because, you know, it all goes, that energy level will drop eventually, but yeah.
Well, there is a superhero analogy, right? There are, I can't think of a specific example, but I know there are superhero. Well, I mean, if you look at Iron Man, right? When he's being Iron Man, if he's using, like, I'm just thinking of the first movie.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going with this. Keep going.
If he didn't have the right power module plugged into his chest, right? He was exhausted. He'd be almost dead, right? So he had to get, because he was himself at 11, right?
Look at you struggling through a superhero. And those damn,
those shrapnel things would go into his heart if that magnet wasn't working.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. Or the Hulk. I bet the Hulk can't be the Hulk all the time, right?
No, it's physically exhausting, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, when he's done being the Hulk, I saw the TV show. His clothes are all ripped up, you know? That's
right. The sad piano music as he's walking away.
Yeah, he's tired. So maybe, you know, maybe that's what Stan Lee was trying to tell us. He was trying to tell us, be the best version of you, but then you're going to get tired. Then just go back to being a shitty, boring version of yourself for a little while. Rest up a bit. Come back.
Change the channel, Marge.
It started as a nuclear experiment, and now David Banner is a man alone, pursued by danger and fear. Because whenever he is angered, the unleashed rage transforms him. Will David find a cure to control the Incredible Hulk?
All right, as we do every week, just thank you for listening. Even during the shows where we just give a couple of random thoughts, this one may be too short. But you know what you can do? You go back, play it again. If you're still way to work and you didn't, but there's other great shows too. There's The Life Science Effect. There's old episodes of Rough Draft. That's all I got. That's about all the shows we got.
That's all the shows you need, man.
Yeah, we need some more shows. Need more shows. We gotta get some more shows. Since we don't have more shows, in fact, there's no more show.
There's no more of this show.
That's right. So until next time, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing. And you nothing, just heard. You just heard. Was true. Just heard, was true. Just heard, true.
That's what we keep inside. That's what we keep inside.
Sometimes, Mouse, you think you know people and then you don't. Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.